Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT special number 28, a tour of the Ford Rouge plant.
The idea of building cars fast enough really required a new way of manufacturing. They had to have an assembly line. So Henry Ford was the first to build cars that way. And actually, the first Ford factory was very close to here, just a few miles northeast of here. But in the 20s, they decided that they needed a really big facility. They got tired of waiting for the steel to arrive and the parts to arrive. They said, we're going to make it all from soup to nuts here out of the raw materials. The 20 millionth Model A here, huh? This is something else. Boy, this is beautiful. It's really kind of a marvel of logistics, what they're able to do. The 20 millionth Model A here. This is a car I'd love to have. Look at that V8. This is the 1932 V8. You know, during World War II, there's Clyde Barrow in front of his V8 in 1934. He actually wrote a letter. It says, Dear Mr. Henry Ford, while I still have got breath in my lungs, I will tell you what a dandy car you make. I have drove Fords exclusively when I could get away with one. For sustained speed and freedom from trouble, the Ford has got every other car skinned. And even if my business hasn't been strictly legal, it don't hurt anything to tell you what a good car you got in the V8. Yours truly, Clyde Barrow. Holy cow. There's a testimonial. During World War II, of course, this car manufacturer stopped. Ford owned an aircraft manufacturer and a boat manufacturer business. They made Jeeps here, tanks here, boats, and planes for the World War II effort, turning the entire car assembly line into what they called the Arsenal of Freedom, making war machinery for World War II. Back in the 40s, late 40s, of course, started back into cars. This is kind of a cool car. This is the Ford Coupe. And the Mustangs were made here. Until when did they stop making the Mustangs here, I wonder? Probably says. I think it was just a few years ago. Yeah, wait a minute. This is what they're making right now. I almost forgot. That was the history. This is the modern. This is the Ford F-150.
And this is the off-road version of the F-150, wow. As we call it, the Raptor. Enthusiasts love this vehicle, but it's one of many different versions of the F-150 that's actually made here now.
You Twitter fellows will recognize Scott Monty, the Twitter voice of Ford. Scott's been kind of our host here, and we're really thrilled to have you along for the ride.
It's absolutely an honor to have you guys here, interested in what we're doing here, you know, competing for the heart of manufacturing here in America and doing it in a technical way. I think your viewers and listeners can really appreciate.
It's one of the things that we really like about our relationship with Ford. It's great to be able to support an American industrial giant as it reinvents itself in the 21st century, keeps jobs in America, didn't take any government money, and is doing great stuff. I mean, you know what a fan I am.
I know. And, you know, one of the exciting things about Ford is we're still executing on Henry Ford's original vision about affordable transportation for all, only now we're making affordable fuel efficiency for all and affordable technology for all in our vehicles.
There's been challenges from day one, every step of the way, for Ford to solve. You know, I mean, there were always difficulties, union difficulties in the 30s. The war came along, the Depression. I mean, there's always been challenges. And the challenge today is absolutely how, as you go forward in the 21st century, people still want their wheels? How do you keep them on the road? In an environment where fuel is so expensive, and you know, we'd like to cut back on our use of fuel. I know you've got hybrid vehicles that are very successful, but also some electric vehicles coming.
Yeah, we have a full electrification program. So we've got 5 hybrid models on the road today. We've been making the most hybrid vehicles of any U.S. manufacturer since 2005. We've got an electric vehicle, the Transit Connect, that's coming out later this year, the Focus Electric, which will be out next year, and then a plug-in hybrid, and then two other hybrid vehicles.
It's exciting.
That, so.
Yeah. We're talking about getting that electric vehicle as our Twitmobile, so we can put an edit bay in the back and go to events. That'll be a lot of fun. The way we're streaming this, as usual, is via the Live U pack, which is an amazing pack. I've talked about this before. It has six EVDO cards in it, two each from the three big 3G companies, Sprint, AT&T, and Verizon. And usually what it's able to do is find enough bandwidth from those six streams to put together a decent stream. But we're having a little difficulty today, probably because we're inside a big metal building. Well, Michigan is a gorgeous state, especially this time of year. It really is a beautiful place. I have a lot of friends who vacation here. Maybe they can make it down to Dearborn and see this. All right, we're going to go off into the plant floor here. Holy moly. So this is an actual working assembly line.
Absolutely. This is where the F-150 comes in. The body parts come in. The doors come off, and they go on a separate route. The body and box assembly go on a separate route, and then they all come back together after it's fully assembled.
In a minute, we're going to meet the plant manager, yes?
Absolutely. He's going to be here. He's actually going to take us down on the floor so we can walk among the workers here and check out what they're doing.
That's something you don't normally get to do. That's really, really cool. You know, Roger, if I worked here, I'd come here once in a while just to look and watch, because this is really what it's all about, ultimately.
So this is it, yep. Getting the product out the door. Quality's great. Workers do a terrific job.
Well, you know, it's surprisingly calm. This is something you don't really expect. You think it's going to be kind of frenetic and fast-paced. That line's moving fairly quickly, but they're very calm, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, Leo. I mean, they know their jobs. I mean, the groups know what, you know, parts to put on, and they do a fantastic job.
Yeah, no kidding. This is kind of amazing. I didn't realize the trucks go through backwards.
There's very little cardboard. Everything's returnable. Right. So from a sustainability standpoint, get it back to the suppliers, have them fill up the totes, and bring them back.
I noticed there's train tracks all around here. Is that mostly how you move equipment and gear in and out?
No, you know, it used to be everything was brought in by rail. But now with the just-in-time manufacturing thought process, things are brought in by truck from our suppliers, come to the line side and basically be brought right to the location to put them on the vehicles.
Yeah, I noticed they're on these kind of pallets, so they can just roll those in as needed.
Yep, you'll see tugs and dollies that go up and down the rows that bring the material in. Also, from an ergonomic standpoint, if you're talking about sustainability, you look at the vehicles that are on the skillet conveyors, they automatically come up to the right level for the person that's doing the work on the vehicles.
Oh, that's exactly right. I see down here they're lower, and then they're going to move up as it moves down on hydraulics, yep. So they don't have to bend over, they don't have to reach in. In the video that we saw, which was really fun to see, of the original plant, they were doing a lot of crawling around and moving around. This is much easier for them, it looks like.
Absolutely, yep.
Wow, this is kind of amazing.
One of the reasons we developed this as a tour event is that the Henry Ford, which is a great facility here, their number one request was, how do we get to see
a manufacturing plant?
Yeah. And so it does a couple things for us. It gives the public the chance to see the complexities involved in building modern-day vehicles, and it gives our workers a chance to look up and see who their customers are.
I like that. I like that idea. That's right. I know I perform better if somebody's watching me. It's a performance. You can see they're looking up at us right now. It's a performance for them. They know this is their who building it for us. That's really awesome.
Absolutely. Yep.
That was the first thing that struck me, even in the very earliest days. This is a very complex piece of machinery, and the logistics, the brain power, and just in a way the nerve that it took for Henry Ford and his team to build this, to say we're going to build this massive plant, it's unparalleled. It really is an example of I think, the power of the human mind.
From a facility standpoint, natural daylight. I mean, we've created a really great
environment. It's pleasant in here.
Great environment for the workers. So
it's actually surprisingly pleasant. You expect it to kind of be dingy, dark place. Not at all. There's a skylight.
No, we found that there really is a direct correlation to quality of vehicles with happy workers. So
we're talking with Roger Gaudet, who's responsible for all the assets of the facilities here. Are you just here in Dearborn or Ford nationwide?
No, we're global. So, I mean, I get involved in a number of projects globally. So I think, Leo, I think we're going to hand you back over to the plant now and have them take you on the actual manufacturing tour.
Roger, it was a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the work you're doing to improve sustainability here.
Thanks, Leo. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Roger Godet. All right, now we get to meet the plant manager. Uh-oh, do I have to wear one of these? All right, safety vest time. This is Spot the Dork.
This is Jeff Carrier, the assistant plant manager here. He's responsible for lean manufacturing. He's going to take us down on the floor of the Detroit truck, Dearborn truck plant, to actually see how the F-150 gets built.
That's exciting. Jeff Leo Laporte, so nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
How long have you worked here?
I've been with Ford for 18 years. I've been in this plant for, I was here for about 13 years. Now I'm back for a year now.
Did you work on the line?
No, I've never worked on the line.
So you don't have no sympathy for these poor fellows down there?
Absolutely have sympathy. They are the people that make our bread and butter here.
Actually, I have to say, already I'm impressed by how light and airy it is here. This is actually a fairly pleasant place. It's not what you expect.
No, it's the nicest plant from an air-tempered standpoint. Certainly the nicest.
So we're going to get to go down here. How often do people get to do this?
Quite often in this plant.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, this is a show place. Yeah. Well, take us down. I'd love to see it. All right, lead away, Jeff.
Overhead, the vehicles are coming from our paint department, and we get cabs and boxes separately into the system. There's a separate box line and then a cab system, and we'll go down.
All right. Come on down. We're going down to the trim shop. Keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times.
When I mention ergonomics, when you look to your right over here, all the vehicles are on skillets, and you can see the adjustable scissors lift system on the skillet so that the vehicle can raise and lower to the height for the operator to work at the correct height ergonomically when they're doing their job.
How many trucks a day do you come off the line here?
1,200.
1,200, wow. And how many people are working on the line at any given time?
We have about 500 people per crew, and we run a 3-crew operation over in the final area.
That's amazingly efficient. 500 people to build 1,200 vehicles. That's amazing.
That's just the final department. If you take in the other buildings, the body and paint building, you're talking closer to 1,000.
So what part of the truck is done before it gets here? Is it most of it? Or
before it gets to the final system, of course, our structural integrity coming out of the body shop and our dimensional integrity is set. And then it goes through the paint shop where it gets, obviously, e-coated, primed, painted. That's all done before it gets to us, and then we trim.
This is where you're putting the insides in. It's like the drywall now, right? You've done the bones.
Yeah, the drywall. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
They look beautiful, I have to say.
So this is our doors-off process. When the vehicles come in, when the cabs come into the trim shop, we take the doors off. They're sequenced overhead to meet the vehicle that they came off of. They'll meet them over in the chassis side when the vehicle gets over there. That allows, again, for ergonomics. We can get in and out of trucks without having to deal with walking around doors. Right. Also helps from an efficiency standpoint.
I'm going to get on this side so you're closer to the thing. Yeah, I don't want my anywhere getting. This is neat. So how fast is the line moving?
The line moves at approximately 66 jobs an hour. So it's a little less than a minute per cycle.
Each worker has 1 minute to do whatever it is they're going to be doing.
Thereabouts, yeah, absolutely. When you look at the line and you see the tooling that's out here, all our tooling is tied to the line so that the operation will shut down if we don't reach proper torques, which is a phenomenal improvement for quality.
The line, probably, you never want the line to stop, obviously. Then you've got 500 people standing there not doing anything. Does it ever stop?
Yeah, the intent is obviously to flow without stops, but we do have issues, so we do have stops. As long as the stops are controlled and handled correctly to keep the quality in station, which is what we're all about, that's not an issue. We have a slight overspeed. We have about a 3-job-an-hour overspeed to handle situations.
To allow for it.
Yeah.
So here goes the door. It's going to follow the cab along so it doesn't get lost. And they're putting in, it looks like, rubber trim here.
They do the rocker tape on this job, which is, as you can see, the vehicle is lifted from the front of the line so that when they put the rocker tape on, they're doing it at waist height. They're not bending over to their ankle height.
And these hand trucks that bring the parts here, These are just automatically shuttled in as needed?
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. We're a fork-free infield here, so everything that's brought in on dollies, right. Tugged in on dollies.
So we'll know, but it'll come down here, and they'll offload it. But, of course, because you're at a very constant speed, they know exactly when they're going to need the next dolly.
Yeah, the routes are all set up similar to a production job online. There's triggers that trigger their route, and they're constantly working throughout the hour delivering different things that are expiring as we go.
I imagine this is a pretty popular assignment. You'd like to work in this plant.
Oh, I love it, yeah. Ford Motor Company anywhere right now is the place to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So now the scissors lift is lowering it down. It had raised it up so they could work on the trim. Now they're...
So you can see right now they're installing the front end of the vehicle, which has got our radiator and whatnot.
Let's go around here. I think we'll see it better if we go over here, Brett. So they're putting in the front end. Does that come down from above? Where does the front end? Oh, it's on the bin over here.
That's a full assembly in from a supplier. Gets loaded online, comes over to us. We put it into the vehicle here.
Let's just watch him put one in, because I just think it's amazing what this guy's doing here. So they're on these little crane lift assemblies. They've come in. He's raising it up. So one guy can do this whole bit.
He raises it up. He puts it in place. He can make a couple secures to where then it'll go down the system and get final secure.
So, yeah, he just kind of tacks it in, and then others are going to tighten down the bolt.
He's got nut runners in the fixture itself, as well as the handheld one that he has here.
So just to reiterate what you said, the amount of torque that he's applying there is monitored automatically, and if it's not appropriate, the line will stop and they'll fix whatever's wrong.
Absolutely.
But he doesn't have to notice that. He doesn't have to pay attention to it. He just puts it on and it'll do it automatically.
It's all torque controlled. It's all fed back through a box that's tied into our PLC with the line. And if we do not reach torque, the line goes down.
But I bet you reach torque 99.9% of the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so now that front end assembly's in there. He's taking some of the hoses out. This is really amazing. The calm efficiency with which they're working. There's no sense of rushing. It's just very straightforward. Chat room wants to see more of this.
They want to see the articulated arm that actually helps the workers pull some of the stuff.
Brent, they want to see the articulated arm, Brent. So you go in there and you get that shot, baby. It's pretty neat. So we have a live chat room. Just so you know, Jeff, we have a live chat room going on. This is, of course, a live stream, and they're talking back to us. They said, we want to see how that articulated arm is working that he's
using. Outstanding. That's excellent.
They're very interested. And you really couldn't do this without this kind of efficiency. It's amazing that you know, all of this is just in time. So that assembly arrives, you know, within a day of when it's needed, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the sequencing to get all the parts for the right vehicle, because there is complexity. Not every part is, you know, interchangeable on every vehicle. So the way the doors sequence in with the vehicles over in chassis, with the way the CMAs come in sequenced into the vehicle that they go on.
So, Brett, we're going to look over this. The thing, and we're going to see later on in our tour later in the day, we're going to see the design process as well a little bit. And, of course, all of this has to be taken into account in the design process. You can't just design a truck. You have to think, how's it going to get made? Who's going to make it? Can it be made? Can it be made in our existing facility? So it's really remarkable. So what are they doing here?
Again, this is where the box for the F-150 and the cab meet up as one pair. They get put in a carrier, of course, not on the frame yet. They put in an overhead carrier. They'll go overhead to the other side of the shop where they actually go into our body decking system where they get decked to the frame.
Where is the box bin? Is it in another part of the plant?
So if you can recall, as when we were coming down into the trim shop, there were two lines coming from paint. There was a box system coming down to trim where the box line is on the other side of the marriage cell here, where the box will go down one line, get totally trimmed out. Of course, a box trim out is a lot less than a cab. So then we've got to tie it in speed-wise to when our cab gets to this station, our box gets to this.
It has to be the same box because it has to be the same color. So here's the box. It's being raised. The cab is being lowered, and they're going to be married together right here.
So when we build 5.5 foot and 6.5 foot boxes, and we build a super and a crew cab, so you're right, the complexity, it's got to be the right part cab to box marriage. It's not just any one. Obviously, the paint color is an obvious one, but it's more than just paint. There's FXs, there's 4x4s, there's Raptors, right, there's Lincolns, there's Platinums. They all have to marry up to be the exact vehicle.
Is there much robotics used in this at all? I imagine the paint uses some robotics.
Yeah, there's more robotics in paint and body than in the final system. We do have our windshield robot over here. Obviously, we've got a ton of equipment in the final area, but robots specific are more in paint and body.
So you need humans to do this, the final touches to the trim. Isn't that amazing? I just love this shot of the box moving up, getting married to exactly the right cab. Now, I noticed that we've got a big readout board down here. What is that telling us about?
That's a production count board for every part of our system. It tells us where we're at coming out of paint. It gives us our tunnel into trim, so we understand what our lead time is coming into trim. It also tells us how many vehicles we've got between trim and chassis, and then it gives us a trim on, trim off, chassis on, chassis off. Cal down at the bottom, that's our customer acceptance line, so it shows us how many vehicles have actually rolled off the customer acceptance line that's going to the customer.
And so is there somebody monitoring that? What is that annunciator for? Who is that for?
That's for everyone in the shop, whether you're a production operator on the line or whether you're a salaried supervisor, tied to a paging system as well, to where even to my level, we're all getting pages hourly so that we know where we stand on our production counts.
It's pretty amazing. It's just hard to believe. I'm almost speechless at the complexity that you've solved here in a way that's efficient, effective, with very few errors, because obviously the errors is where you get it. Cost overruns on it.
We're
going to
cross this?
All right. I want everybody to stick together in the group. We're going to cross. All right, but we're going to do it with the principal's going to take us.
Yeah.
This is great. Hi, how are you? Good job.
You can see the all our electrical harnesses underneath the carpet are being installed. So we'll be set up for carpet install, which we'll see when we walk to the other side.
All right, get ready. So this actually stops for a minute. Oh, my God. We're on the line, baby.
Stay on it while it starts up. You're welcome to.
You want to stay on it while it starts up, Brent? You can. Don't move too far. All right. Okay, we're going to wave goodbye as Brent goes down the line. Try it. Okay, if you can improve his chassis at all, maybe a paint job, I don't know, rewiring. There he goes. Bye-bye, Brent. Bye-bye. Okay, get off the line. There's people working here. Was that fun? Did you enjoy that? We're reassembling Brent. Wow. You know, it's spotless. The whole thing is spotless, and that's what's amazing. Very little cardboard used. I mean, it's you're really paying a lot of attention to how it's done, the environment. It's very impressive.
Yes. A lot of focus on the environment when this plant was built. Yeah. Obviously, you probably saw if you took the visitor tour, the green roof up top. And you're right, we focus on reducing the cardboard intake into the plant as much as possible. We use returnable dunnage.
This is where the green roof was. If you join us at the very beginning, we're underneath it. But there's also a lot of skylights and clear stories, so there's natural sunlight coming in here. So it's a very light, airy feeling in here. It's very comfortable temperature. This is a pleasant place to work. And it's a little, you know, there's a little background noise, but not more so than if you're driving down the street. It's really kind of amazing. So what are we doing here?
Another trim line comes down the line. We put moonroofs in over here. We are continuing routing our wire harnesses, getting ready for our backlight and our windshield install. Basically, we're nearing the end of the trim portion of the shop.
We're a little bit out of order here. Of course, the box hasn't been attached yet. All right, so we're going to walk here. This is moving still, Brent, so I'm going to hold you. Yeah, you're getting on. It's just like getting on a train. No big deal.
So to your left is moonroof moonroof install. To your left is moonroof install. As I stated, the operator has an assistant hoist. They'll be putting the moonroof in now. That is an option content that we run on this line. We cannot run two in a row from a cycle time standpoint. You can see it takes them a little bit out of station to secure the moonroof into this.
He rides along as we are, comes back, joins the line a couple of stations back, and does it again. And this is now being lowered down, so it's ready for him to work on. It's kind of fun to ride the line, I have to say. Wow, that is amazing. And then it's lowered down so he can work on it, so he doesn't have to bend over, or he can reach right in and attach the moonroof.
With new model changes and new model architecture, we can program the lifts any station we want to be at whatever height.
That's convenient, yeah.
Easy to do and can do pretty much on the fly.
You need to do that, obviously.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to hop off here. Oh. Now I understand why we have wearing the glasses and the vests. I didn't realize we were actually going to be riding the assembly line here.
Now on this line, again, we're one line away from the end of the trim shop. You can see that the IP is now in the vehicle, the instrument panel. Also, you can see the weather stripping that's on. When these vehicles get over to the chassis system, the doors will be going back on. Strikers are in position for door. Vehicle in front of us that we're looking at is a Super Crew right now, which where the rear door actually has the B-pillar built into it. So when you look at it with the doors off, you've got a full opening. The next vehicle coming is a crew cab, which you can see it's got two full doors with a solid B-pillar in the middle of the cab.
So do you retool only once a year, or is it more than just every year?
It's whenever needed, and it's generally more than once a year.
Really? Okay. So there'll be design changes, it'll come through, things like that?
Any more to meet the demands of the customers, there's changes constantly.
Right.
Not a complete retooling,
right,
but different things in different portions of the shop being changed over on a regular basis.
When you have a new model year and a big change in the models, is it a big deal to change everything here?
Yeah, we generally have a two-week period to where we can get in and get all our tooling out. It's a bigger deal on the body shop and paint side of the business, body specifically. But
so do you do rehearsals? Because, I mean, it's all new stuff. Do you have some practice runs, or do they just flip the switch and say, it's the new model?
We flip the switch, but no, we do build in some time. We'll build in a little curve on our production line, so we'll definitely do a lot of training. We try to do as much offline training as possible. We built a little launch center that we can do offline training on many of our modules. It's not quite the same as building while you're moving, but at least you get a feel for what you have to do in your new elements on your job.
Now, these guys rotate, or do they pretty much do the same thing always? How does that work?
Certain jobs rotate and certain don't. Basically, that's predicated on ergonomics and trying to help people with different parts of their body.
I'm always moving the same way all the time. And yet, when somebody becomes proficient at a particular piece, that's a big deal. They're effective. They're efficient. They do it right every time. You don't want to move them arbitrarily.
Absolutely.
At the same time, I'm sure it's, you know, a little, maybe it's boring after a while. You want to give them a chance to do something different. What's the average length of time somebody will spend, say, doing the same thing?
Well, that's a good question that I don't know that I can answer. We've probably never measured that, but there's some people that have been on the same job for 10 years. There's some people that like to change jobs every year.
So you have the opportunity to do that if you want to do that.
There's processes to do that within the system, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine there's some people would just like, I'm comfortable, I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm having a good time, yeah. I have to say it's a very pleasant place to be. I can easily see working here. Mark, what would you like to do? Would you like to be putting in the floor there, maybe some seats?
I always wanted to know how that flooring carpet got in there.
Now you know. It's just rolling out there. Yeah.
You know, I had a question about those yellow cords. Did you... There seems to be like hundreds or thousands of these yellow cords up there.
What are these yellow cords that we see hanging around?
So if an operator is having an issue on the job, and there's several reasons why that could be, right? Could be a supplier quality issue, could be a processing issue, could be a training issue.
Right.
Those cords are used to call. They're call cords and on cords. They can pull those and actually call their team leader or their supervisor down to the job without the line stopping. If they pull it and nobody responds till the vehicle gets to the end of their station, the line will stop.
We're not going to talk to any of the workers because I don't want to interrupt them. They're kind of on a schedule, if you know what I mean. They got to keep moving because the line never stops. But they seem like they're having a good time. They've waved at us and we've given them the thumbs up, and you know, it seems like it's a good job. Some of them are listening to music. They're allowed to do that?
Yes.
Rock and roll. What is the you know, there was a lot made about the hourly wage of workers and how overpaid they are, but they're not. These guys aren't making $75 an hour.
These guys, again, are the heart and soul of our business. They're the ones that put the pedal to the metal. They're the value add in the business. So I certainly don't want to discuss, you know, what they get paid or is it enough or isn't enough. That's an argument anyone could make. I think that, you know, they're the heart and soul of the business. And as Ford Motor Company continues to do well, we owe a lot to the workers on the floor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're the heart and soul of America. And the thing is, you're providing jobs, you know, and... At one point, 100,000 people were employed in this Rouge plant. That's kind of remarkable, 100,000 jobs. And, you know, these are jobs that for a while looked like they were moving offshore. So it's really nice to see American industry continue into the 21st century. And, you know, people have talked a lot about how it's the end of the industrial era for America. I certainly hope not. I think manufacture is a key part of American economy. And I think it's pretty clear here that there's some real American know-how that's unique. We're going to move over a little bit, Brett, because she's got to load in some parts. This is pretty darn impressive. So you can see these are the parts bins as they come in. They know they're going to need that wiper assembly. You know, windshield wiper assembly, they're going to need these parts at a certain amount of time. Hey, we got some trucks over here moving around. Is this coming in from the paint over here?
Or? Next to us transferring over.
So this is that moves from one line to another. I see, and there's a green line. So actually we're going to move over here because we've got a cart coming through. So watch this here, Brent, as it comes across. So this is how it gets from one line to the other. If you take a look, the cab is now watch here, the rail just rose up in the floor. So this rail comes up so they can transfer this body over to the next line. It actually gives you some idea of how many bodies are coming through the line at a time. Because every minute it looks like another body's coming over. And then the rails go down so that these the little supply trucks can move over. That's pretty cool.
One of the differences here versus the old Dearborn assembly plant, as we were talking earlier, the cross transfers in the old assembly plant were just chain on edge, and we actually would ramp up over them when we drove. We would drive over ramps and actually hammered the chains. It was actually a cause for a lot of downtime, but this system's much, much better.
Uh-oh, here comes a cart. As soon as that cab moves across, you can watch those rails will go down, and she can drive across it. And there she goes. It's like clockwork. It's really amazing. How much time on the line does one unit spend?
Oh, in the system, from beginning to end, one unit probably spends somewhere around 18 hours.
18 hours from nothing to full truck. All right, we're going to go upstairs here a little bit.
On the mezzanine here, you'll see a bunch of rooms. These rooms are team rooms for the employees that we just saw on the line. So when they come in the morning, they have lockers to put their stuff. They can actually come up here if they brought a lunch. They can obviously hit the lunchroom, but they've got a room to sit and actually talk about some of the issues. They've got some of the metrics posted and essentially an area for themselves, kind of an office for themselves.
This is one of the things I know there's a lot of research and thinking about is how do you make people work in a team together? How do you improve quality control? You know, for quality circles, things like that. And so teams seem to work well to keep people, kind of give them some responsibility and feeling responsible for that particular part of the truck. It's really important to give people a sense of responsibility for what they do and ownership for what they do. And I think that's a great way to solve that. Team gets too big, you can only 10-person team. It's easy. You know who, you know everybody who's on your team. You know, if somebody's slacking off, you could say, "Hey, stop it, Joe." If somebody's doing a great job, you can call attention to it. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I love it that they each have their own rooms with their own lockers. They've got a computer in there. They've got a microwave oven, the refrigerator. I think it's a very sensible way to handle that. When the plant, obviously, when the plant was built, it was built with this kind of thing in mind, I would imagine.
Yeah, the team concept was a critical part of the strategy when we set up this plant. And we put all team rooms off the floor to get them a feel for off-the-floor safety. Yep. Again, an office for themselves to think and to help us with problem solutions.
That's a great idea. I love that.
We're walking now over to the second half of the final system, which is called our chassis system. In the middle, as we walk across, you'll see our customer acceptance line, and we'll stop and talk about that for a minute.
Okay, great. Great. So we're going to ride over here. And this is a finished truck here. We're coming out here, right?
So we're kind of jumping to the end before we look at the chassis system, but this is a finished vehicle. This is what we call our customer acceptance line, where we do final inspections on the vehicle. Electrical checks, functional checks, exterior type inspections, and interior finesse type inspections. When it travels through this line near the end, there's a water booth where we do a final water test, and then the vehicle goes outside for sequencing the vehicle to the load centers.
The water test is for windshield leakage, things like that? Is that what you're...
For any type of leakage.
It always amazes me that the engine starts. You go through this whole thing, all these bits and pieces have been put on, you turn the key, and the thing turns over.
It is a fine-tuned process. Every operator on the floor has their instruction sheet. All the instructions followed. The vehicle is...
You're driving it onto this line. These cars are already... trucks are already being driven.
Yeah, again, this is the final acceptance line. If you look over to your left there, the line that you see, that's the actual end of the production system before it comes over to our inspection system.
Jeff, you've been very kind to give us this much time. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. It's great to have people in the plant and see what we do.
Well, you got a lot of people at home watching this, and it's a great treat for them because it's almost as if you came here to themselves to see it happen. This is a big plant. There's a lot going on in here. And this isn't even the whole plant for the F-150, right? This is just the final assembly.
Yeah, this is just the final assembly. Again, the body shop and the paint shop are totally separate buildings.
There's a lot that goes into making a car or truck. There's a lot goes into it.
Right here.
All right, we're going to go downstairs here. Yeah, all good? All right, follow along. Oh, yeah, this is a little earlier in the state life of the truck. That's just a chassis with an engine. And a drivetrain.
On the beginning of our chassis system is where the frame line and engine line are. So we'll build up the engine, build up the frame. As you can see, the frame's coming across, getting ready for us to set the cabin box down on the frame, which is where we're going to walk.
All right, let's go look at that. Wow. We're doing a little bit out of order. These don't even have wheels on them yet. And yet, there they are, almost done.
I just heard you say wheels. Our wheels come built up from a supply base, transferred in from the back dock here. They come across overhead down this conveyor, as you can see, and this is where we're putting the wheels on the system. Again, something that has to be sequenced into us because every set is unique for what vehicle they're going on.
So somebody somewhere is saying, this wheel's next, this wheel's next, this wheel's next. And these guys are worthy of a Indy 500 pit crew. They're just cranking them on.
Yep. They're set up, again, with the skillet system so that they've got the frame at the right height to where they're actually working ergonomically friendly. They've got their hoist to support and ergonomically assist them while they do the job.
Yeah, ergonomics, I'm sure, are a big part of the design here. You could really, you don't want somebody injuring themselves, hefting these big tires around and so forth. All right, we're going to move along. We're running low on time here, so we're going to move quickly. We still have a tour. We're going to go to the test drive track, the test track, and go for a ride, I think, in the test track. I don't know what we're going to drive. I think it's a Mustang. I believe we're going for a ride in a Mustang, maybe the new 5.0. That would be very exciting. And then after that, it's the 5.0 we're going to drive, yeah? All right. And then after that, I'm really excited. We're going to get to see some of the virtual reality gear that the engineers use to design these cars. Before even they start carving the clay or doing any of the metalwork, they have to design it all. And, of course, when they design it, they have to think of not only everything the customer might want or need and what the future is. And it takes years to design these, so they're thinking 5 to 7 years ahead. But they also have to think about how are we going to build it. They have to really think about what this plant is going to do to make, you know, you can easily design something that's unbuildable. So you got to make sure you can make it. It's an amazingly complex process. I just love this.
We should stop here for 1 second and talk about what's happening. So when we left the trim shop, actually one of our first lines down the trim shop, we saw the marriage cell where we married the cab and box together. You can see overhead now, the camera's on it now, where the cab and box are coming in the carrier, where they were married together in the trim shop. They're going to come down in this body deck cell where they're actually set down on the frame itself.
Oh, this is great. This is great. They're marrying the cab and the box to the chassis and the engine. And you're going to have something pretty close to a truck.
They're doing the front bumper secure. As you can see, I don't know if the camera's on it, but they're doing front bumper secure over here. And
yeah,
he's
busy. He's having fun watching the box and cab married to the chassis. And I got to say, that is so cool. That is so cool. Let's watch that cab and box one more time. I just think that's incredible. So there's another one coming. They've just finished that black truck, that 4x4. We're watching the F-150s being made here. And there it goes. You can see the scissor lift has lifted it up all the way. That thing's almost done. You're going to put the doors back on it that you took off at the beginning of this process.
Yep. There's a couple more lines in the chassis shop, and then they're done. Actually, as we were just showing over here when we put the front bumper on, that's after, obviously, the vehicle's married to the frame. We've got three more lines going to our east, and the vehicle will be done.
It's almost done. It would be so much fun if you knew you had an F-150 being made to kind of watch it be made through this process. It's so cool. They almost come to life. They almost start to assume a personality.
Beginning of line four here, we're doing a lot of hookups in our engine compartment. That's what this team is doing over here.
Hey, how are you? If you catch this team over here, they're hooking up all the stuff. Good looking guys.
This team over here is what we call our basketball team. This is actually an area in the shop where you really have to have some height to do the job.
Oh, these are the tall guys. And he's wearing that classic statement. Who was it? Arthur C. Clarke, who said the best way to predict the future is to create it. And that's what he says on his T-shirt there. I love it. Yeah, they are. They're tall. They look like a basketball team. That's great. That's hysterical.
Just needs to put a Pistons jersey on.
Yeah, really. That's amazing. That's so cool. You must be this tall to assemble that truck. Now, this looks like it's some sort of showroom dolly here, but they're actually turning the truck around and moving it over to the next line, as we saw before. So the truck, after it's been married to the chassis, gets turned around on this dolly and then slid over so that it's pointing the right way as it comes off the line. When we looked at the very beginning, they were coming off backwards. So it's on a big lazy Susan. It's been pointing one way for the assembly. Now they have to turn it around so they can point the other way. Ken Shepherdson is carrying the Live View backpack today. How you doing, Ken? Are you okay? It's a lot of work. Poor Ken.
Stay out of the way.
You're the mule of the day. I'm fully sympathetic, Ken. As you remember, at South by Southwest, I wore it. I carried the camera, did the whole thing. Thanks to LiveView, by the way, for providing this incredible device that lets us stream live from pretty much anywhere. It'll really be put to the test when we get in that Mustang and we go around the test track. We'll see how well that does. So we're again up on the team floors where the team... teams have their little break rooms.
This is our final rolls end of the dynos for the vehicle where we do the final electrical checks and whatnot. We run a very high efficiency through here, even with the added complexity year after year after year to our electrical systems. So that's really critical, obviously.
They do everything from testing the headlamp aim to making sure the systems come on, all the lights work.
They plug into all the modules and make sure that everything functions correctly.
This is where your Ford Sync would get tested to make sure it works.
Absolutely. Yep, but this is our Ford Raptor. This is kind of our showpiece of the plant.
Yeah, we saw that on the Legacy floor. That is a beautiful vehicle. Let's get a shot of this, Brent. Is it a sport version of the F-150?
Yeah, this is our off-road sport version, and this is the cell where we do our alignment and validate our alignment on the Raptor. Every single Raptor's taken through this hole separately. It's quite an interesting vehicle to build, and what a fun vehicle to drive.
Yeah, I bet.
Right below us right now is the water booth, and we can actually look when we get up here on the top where the vehicles go outside the garage door right out to the staging areas to be shipped for the staging centers for the customers.
The garage door goes up and out goes a truck. It's a little wet from the water test, but ready to go. How come they close the door each time? Why not just leave it open?
Well, again, as we talked at the beginning of the tour, this is a air-tempered plant where we've got units that temper the air. We want to keep the doors closed at all times, so there's just an automatic eye that lifts and lowers.
It's a hot Michigan day out there. You don't want to let that humid, hot air out. But watch, here goes the final truck. It's been tested, aligned, built 18 hours ago. It was just a bunch of steel, and now it's a F-150 truck. That is pretty cool. Pretty amazing.
We're going to walk this way?
All right. So we were talking about how I think it's amazing that you built this thing and you turn the key and the engine turns over. The chat room wants to know, do they ever not start?
Yeah, there's a percentage or a percent of a percent. There's probably 0.1% that we have concerns with off the end.
And then what happens there?
When they come off the end, I don't know if you saw, but we had some repair bays. I think we had 7 or 8 trucks in repair bays as we walked by. So they
figure out what's wrong and they fix it.
Yeah. If there's an issue, it's determined. We can catch it either, obviously, if it doesn't start on the end or through our test roll system and it goes to...
You're testing almost all the way anyway. You're checking this stuff as it's going.
Yeah, most of the stuff's tied to the line, so there's very few issues on the end of the line. But if there is an issue on the end of the line that's latent to our system, we'll catch it on the end and...
Jeff, I want to thank you. This has been an amazing tour. I'm going to give you back your attractive glasses and vest now. But thank you so much for the work you do. And please thank all the men and women on the line. What a great job they're doing. It's really nice to meet you.
Will do. Great meeting you, too. And thanks a lot for showing our plant.
Yeah, my pleasure. I hope you guys enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Just amazing. Thank you, Scott Monty, my dresser.
Thanks.
The nattiest guy at Ford, by the way. Where's your bow tie?
No bow ties on Fridays. Come on.
Oh, it's casual Friday, you see. That's why. Thank you, Jeff. Really, really nice to meet you. What fun.
Doing the twit.